Let's all turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And we're continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark. And in this fourth chapter, Jesus has begun to preach and teach by using parables. And as we come to verse 26, and we're going to read verse 26 through 29 today, this is the second parable in this particular chapter dealing with the kingdom of heaven. So let's read the verses and then study them together. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Now, as I said, this is the second parable in this series of parables, and it's the parable of the growing seed. It is a parable of the growing seed, and it teaches us the truth that Jesus is made known by his word, which must be sown. Remember in the last parable, the word is the seed is the word of God. So this parable is continuing along that very same line of thought. So Jesus gives us here the principles of kingdom growth, and we're going to be studying that thought today and also next Sunday. Now this parable continues the thought of the previous parable. If Jesus is going to be made known in this world, how is he going to be made known? Once he is gone from this earth, you know, as long as he lived here, as long as he was here ministering and moving from place to place, people could see Jesus. People could see the good news right there before them. How is he going to be made known? How is his kingdom to be made known once he is gone? And so in this parable, Jesus is giving us the answer to that question. He is telling us in verse 26 that the truth about Jesus is to be known, and that the word of God must be sown. And it's the man who takes the seed and scatters it on the ground is the illustration or the parable that Jesus gives. God's word must get into human lives, and therefore its word must be sown, and we must sow it. Because notice it says in verse 26 that the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So there's a responsibility that is given unto us. God's work, God's word is to be sown in this world, and it is sown by human instruments. That's you and me. Now the apostles did not say, if he wants to save his elect, he'll do it without your help or mine. You remember when William Carey went before the mission board proposing a mission to India. Here's what the board members said to him. They said, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to save the heathen, he will do it without your help or mine." That was their position. Well, this parable is saying that Jesus is made known by the sowing of his word. The word is to be scattered abroad. So how is the light to be shown? How is the light which Jesus is to be shown? How was Jesus to be made known? Once he was crucified, once he had raised from the dead, and once he ascended into heaven. How was he to be made known in this world? Well, I think it's through the witness of men and women. It was through the witness of the apostles, but not just the apostles, but men and women who went everywhere proclaiming the word of God. That's very evident, and the greatest example, I think, is in the book of Acts in chapter 8 and verse 1. And Acts 8:1 says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death," that is the death of Stephen. Stephen was being stoned to death, and here's Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul later on in chapter 9, but at this point he is consenting to the death of Stephen, as well as the death of countless other believers at that time. But he's consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Everybody but the apostles left town. They all were scattered abroad in Judea and Samaria. And then in verse 4, what did they do when they were scattered? Did they go and hide? Did they go find some place of seclusion so that they could hide? No, verse 4 says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. So when the persecution comes to Jerusalem, persecution comes against the Christians who are living in Jerusalem, the text is very clear that the apostles stayed there. Now, we think of the apostles as the preachers of that day, don't we? Well, the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem, but all of the other Christians left the city of Jerusalem, and they went everywhere preaching. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word that is translated here as preaching, actually that word is gospeling. Now, we don't think of a word to say, well, is that an English word? But that's technically what it means, gospeling. That is telling the good news. They went everywhere. They were scattered, but they went everywhere telling the good news of Jesus Christ. They went sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. Now that's why Jesus, I think, says in the previous parable that we need to be careful what we hear. Remember, he said that. Be careful what you hear. We talked about that last time. Because if you try to hide it and you don't respond to it, then what's going to happen is it's going to be taken away from you. But he also said if you respond to it, then it's going to become more precious to you. So take heed to what you hear. Now Jesus here in this parable is giving us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Where is it? It's in our pockets. It's in our phones. It's in our hands. It's the Bible. It's the Scriptures. It's those 66 books that we have in the Scripture. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration, that is, by the outbreathing of God, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and instruction and correction in the way of righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable. Now, what is going to grow in that field where the Word is sown? And what's going to grow in a field where the Word isn't sown? We can look at it in both ways, can't we? Both directions there. Well, something's going to grow, isn't it? Something is going to grow. Something always grows in a field. I've thought of it with all of the rain that we had. I know you didn't have as much up here as we did down our way a few weeks ago, but with all of the rain, I mowed it one time. I didn't mow it both times. I had to mow the grass twice. It grew so fast. It taught me right then. I said, I'm not going to fertilize it again. Fertilized it this year and haven't done it in years and grew and had to do it twice. But something, it grew. You look out at the yard and you could almost see the grass growing. I kept saying we need to go get the hay baler and bring it down here. It was so bad. But the point I'm getting at is something is going to always grow. Now, if it isn't the Word, and if it isn't the kingdom of God, if it isn't the principles of Jesus Christ that are growing in the hearts of men and women, it'll be something else that grows in their hearts. Something is going to grow there. It might be a love for self. It might be impure works. It might be false ideas about God. It might be adultery and fornication and a lot more. It might be covetousness and greed. It'll be something, and unless the Word of God is sown, unless the divine seed is sown, unless that Word is sown and takes root, then weeds are going to grow. But something is going to grow in the hearts of men and women on this earth. Look at all of the violence and the evil that has taken place recently here in America and around the world. Just a lot of it, isn't it, that's taken place here. Why is it so often that it takes something evil, that it takes something like bombings and attacks from evil people to inspire and to promote swift counterattacks for good? Why does it take the evil attacks first in order for good things to happen as a result? Shouldn't we be out there planting the seed of the gospel of hope and peace through Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we be doing that? Yes, I believe we should. Just this week, and most of you probably didn't see this on the news because it didn't make the news. Just this week, there was an atheistic organization promoting separation of church and state here in America, demanded that all Christian symbols be removed from the chapel of East Central University in Oklahoma. They demanded it. And the school was giving into it. And the school had a crane out there ready to take the cross off of the steeple. They were removing all of the Bibles out of the chapel. They were removing all of the Christian icons, pictures, whatever, out of the chapel. Everything was going to be removed from that school. But there was great protest from the Christian community. And as a result, this past Friday, the school made a reverse decision, but it's only a partial decision. They simply said they had acted too hastily, and they would postpone doing all of that, and they would do more research and more consulting about it. All it's doing is putting it off a little bit, I'm afraid. But my point is, this is where we've come to in America. Now, we didn't see that on the general media at all. You didn't see anything reported about that in the news. But this is where our ungodly world is moving, to remove Christianity, to remove any semblance of Christianity from this world. People will not see God without being taught by the Scriptures. That's why they wanted the Bibles out of there. That's why they wanted the Bibles out of that chapel. Because people will not see God without being taught in the Scripture. No one will repent and believe in Jesus Christ unless Christ is proclaimed, unless Christ is shown to them and presented before them. So you young men in this congregation, you want to use your talents and your flair? Then use it. And use it and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use it in the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sow the seed of the gospel. Parents, all of you parents, sow that seed of the gospel in the heart of your children. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know the gospel. And I know you're doing that. But keep it up. Don't stop it. They need to know and hear the gospel, because it is the Word of God that is going to change lives. The Word of God changes lives. Now, I don't know why God has chosen to build His kingdom by men proclaiming the gospel, but He has. That's God's decision. It's just like some people don't understand the doctrine of election, and yet when you read Ephesians chapter 1, it says God did all of that according to the good pleasure of His will. And that's all we can say about this. I just almost quoted Forrest Gump, didn't I? That's all I have to say about that. But that's exactly what it is here. I don't understand why God has chosen this way of the proclamation of the gospel in the building of His kingdom, but He has. And it's according to the good pleasure of His will that He's done that. There's not a one of us in this room who is a follower and a professor, a professed believer in Jesus Christ, who is here today on our own initiative and our own intuition. I would be willing to say that we all had someone speak or preach or teach the gospel to us at some point in our life. We've all had that. The Word entered our lives and it changed our hearts and it grew within us. And it continues to grow. And you see, that's what this parable is going to teach us. It continues to grow. Now, how God's Word works is beyond our understanding. It is beyond it. It's beyond our control also. That's what Jesus is saying here in this parable. That's what he's getting at when he says that the farmer goes out, he scatters the seed, and then what does he do? He goes back to his house. He goes to bed at night. Gets up the next day. See, he's done his part. He scattered the seed. That's what he's to do. And so he goes to sleep at night. He gets up in the morning, and there's a crop that's beginning to grow. The crop is there. He can't explain it. It says it right here in Scripture. The farmer can't understand it. He doesn't know how it's taking place. And in one sense, having sown the seed, it's all up to God now, isn't it? And it is. The seed is sown. That's what we're to do. It's up to the divine spirit to bring forth that crop once the seed is sown. The farmer isn't responsible anymore. Now, he's responsible to pray. We're responsible to pray, aren't we? He's responsible to water that seed with his prayers. But how that seed brings forth life is a mystery. It's a mystery in the natural sense too, isn't it? When you plant seed. It is the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, in quickening, in planting that divine seed and that divine truth in the hearts and lives of men and women. It's a mystery. But the Holy Spirit does it. And the Holy Spirit quickens. The second thing I want to note today is that spiritual life that is here shows itself gradually. It shows itself gradually. Look at verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. Now what's he saying here? Well, have you ever planted seed and watched them as they grow? If you plant a flower, what happens first? The first thing you see is the stem shoot up out of the ground and little blades on it, the little leaves on it. That's the blades. Then what happens next? There's a bud that comes up on that flower, and then the full fruit as that flower opens. Well, the same thing with a grain. For instance, wheat. You plant wheat, it comes up, it looks like grass. I'll never forget the first time I ever planted corn. And we were living in Plant City, and I had a garden, and I planted, boy, I had three rows of corn I planted. I was so thankful for that, and I had left it for a few days, got out there, and I looked and said, man, the grass is growing up in my corn. Well, guess what this dummy did? He got his hoe and went out there and started hoeing up his corn. Why? Because it looked like grass. There's a lot of grains like that that look like a stem of grass coming up in the ground. But there's first the blade, and then you get the ears, and then those ears, as they fill out, they're full of grain. That's the point. But it's a gradual process, isn't it? You don't plant a seed, and then you go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, and here's 6-foot-tall corn full of ears of corn. It doesn't happen that way. It's a gradual process. This verse talks about the way the seed begins to germinate and to grow. There's a stalk, and then there's the head, and then there's the full fruit in the head, and it takes its own time. It takes its own time. You can't do anything about it. You can't hurry up the process. Once that process has begun, you can't speed it up. You can't speed it up. It's a work of God. It's a work of the divine Spirit of God in the life of the individual. And then when the grain is ripe, the Lord will come and harvest it. And we'll talk about that later on. You see what this parable is saying to us? I hope that we all do. It's saying that the truth about Jesus, the truth about the kingdom, the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ comes through sowing the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. That's the message he's given to us. Men and women, brothers and sisters, sow the seed. Sow the seed liberally. Sow the seed in your home. Sow the seed in your school. Sow the seed on the campus where you're going to be. Sow that seed in the place where you work. Sow that seed so that you can watch God work in the lives of people. Watch God bring that seed to life. Bring that seed to growth and germinate and fruitfulness and harvest. Watch it happen. Watch it happen. If you don't sow the seed, you won't see it happen. When the gospel is shared, whether it's from the pulpit or whether it is from a personal witness, there is a mysterious process that begins to take place. And that process is the sovereign work of God in the life of the heart where that seed has taken hold. This process is often hidden from the view of man. It's like Jesus talked about regeneration and the Spirit blows or moves and you can't see it. You can't see it. It's like the wind, isn't it? You can't see the wind, but you see the effects of it. And that's the same thing here, this mysterious process, as the Spirit of God takes the word, the seed that has been planted, and that seed then begins to develop. This process results in changed lives and saved souls. The principles of kingdom growth. This parable is like so many of the others, most all of the others, and that is that it speaks to us about the kingdom of God. Remember, we talked last time about the fact that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and it is a kingdom that is in this world today. We love to sing the hymn, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today." And as we sing that, remember, if he's in the world today, then his kingdom is in this world today. And we are members, if we're believers, everyone who has been saved by the grace of God is a subject in that spiritual kingdom. We're a part of that kingdom. So here in this parable, Jesus makes it very clear that he intends to grow his kingdom. He's going to grow his kingdom. How? By the planting of the seed, and then that seed as it develops, you know, the leaf, the head, and then the full grain in the head. In fact, when he spoke of his church to his disciples, he stated that was his intention. You remember when he was speaking to Peter and he said, "Upon this rock, what'll I do? I will build my church." And he's still building it. He is still building it. I should have written down the song that you brothers sang a little bit ago. Till his work is done. Till his work on earth is done. That's the phrase I wanted to grab out of that. All of it was great, but that phrase just struck me. That he's going to be here, he's going to be working, he's going to be with us, he's going to be taking that seed that is planted, it's going to be germinated, and life is going to keep coming until his work on earth is done. Remember, when we're planting seed, scattering seed, it's his work. We're doing his work, remember. Now, there's much confusion in our world today about how he is to be building his church. How's he going to do it? Well, there's different ideas that are out there. Some people think that you grow a church by becoming more like the world. In other words, that what it takes is coffee and donuts, motivational speakers, and Christian singers and bands, entertainment. Some people think that's the way that the church is to grow. Well, then there's others that go to the other extreme, and that is that they think you grow a church by isolating ourselves, by completely withdrawing in every way from the world. Well, Jesus didn't do that, did he? The apostles didn't do that. You can't isolate yourself from the world. Well, I think the answer lies somewhere between the two extremes. It's somewhere in between. We'll talk about it more next week. Now, in these verses, Jesus tells us a little bit about how he is growing his church and his kingdom. His kingdom. So there are principles of kingdom growth. And the three principles of kingdom growth are these. And this is what we're going to study next week. Kingdom growth involves a ministry. Verse 26 and 27. Kingdom growth involves a mystery. Verse 27 and 28. And kingdom growth involves a majesty. Verse 28 and 29. And I want you to see that Jesus Christ fully intends on growing His Father's kingdom upon this earth, and that you can be a part of what He's doing. That's what we want to see. Let's pray together. Almighty God and our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven that He established here on the earth, the kingdom of which we as believers are a part. And our Heavenly Father, You have given us a mission in this world. You have declared that we are to be sowers. We are to be like farmers, and we're to sow the seed of the gospel. And that's our responsibility, to sow the Word of God, to scatter the Word of God wherever we are. And then, dear Heavenly Father, we're to watch it, and we're to see how You take that seed and the germination of that seed and the growth of that seed, the development of that seed. Because all of that is in Your hands. We don't understand, Father, why You would use us. We don't understand fully, Father, why You would use men as for the proclamation of Your Word. But You've done it. And so, Father, may we be faithful to do what You've called us to do, and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that there's salvation through Your Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His wonderful name that we pray. Amen.